You know, while you guys have been in kids' church this summer, your parents and I have been thinking about something. We've been thinking about God and how we need to seek God first. That's been our plan. That's what we've been talking, learning about this summer. How can we seek God first every day? How can we put Him first? How can we make Him like the priority, the goal of our life, to know Him better? And this is based on a verse that you may or may not have seen before. It's in Matthew 6:33. It's something that Jesus said. He said, but if we will seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness first, if that's the first thing we'll do, then all these other things, the other things that we're concerned about, things we want to grow into, will be given to us as well. And today's topic is our mouth, how we talk to one and how we speak to one another, which can be a challenge, can it, sometimes? I know this is highly unusual, but would you just stick your tongues out at me for a moment? Go ahead. It's all right. You know, I've given you permission. Okay, that's long enough. Okay, we'll stop right there. I know you like to do that, but you gave you permission to do that in church today. And I want us to think about our tongues for a minute, because this is a very small part of our body, you know, really. You think of got arms and legs and, you know, torso and everything. But this little piece is so important, because so much can come from this tongue. It can be good or bad. Have you ever said something that you wish you hadn't said? You blurted out, you said, oh my goodness, why did I say that? My mouth got ahead of my brain and I said this. Have you ever said something disrespectful to your parents? Probably not, right? It probably never happened. No. Well, it probably did, but yeah. Have you ever said something unkind or hateful to someone else, you know? Or have you ever said something, you know? Yeah. Have you ever said something where you're angry, you know? You just got angry and you blurt this thing out. Oh, man, if I had been a little more calm, you know, if I had thought about it, I wouldn't have said that. That's the trouble our tongues can get into. And you know what? Every one of those situations everybody in this room has been in. So you're not alone. It's not just something kids do. It's something adults do. In fact, you know that, right? Have you ever heard your parents say something you wish they hadn't said? Or they wish they hadn't said? You know, have you ever heard something? And I'm not going to give examples of that. But this is a very real thing. And, you know, these very real things happen, that we say things and then we say, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. And this is where our tongue gets ahead of itself. But it's also something God gives us as a blessing. We can bless people. We can praise people. We can love people. We can encourage them. And so this little thing we call our tongue is a very powerful tool that God has given us. And we all need to ask for God's help, God's wisdom, God's advice, in how we can say and do things better than we do. Now, I don't know if you learned a song that I did when I was a little child. I'm sure some of these other people have learned it. If you don't know it, you'll pick it up very quick. And I want to encourage you to sing four verses with me. And it tells us to be careful. Be careful about what God has given us. So would you just kind of sing along with me, okay? And if you don't know very well, just kind of hum along as you can. You adults can join. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down with love, so be careful, little ears, what you hear. Here we go. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down with love, so be careful, little mouth, what you say. One more verse. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Now, it'd take a long time to sing that whole thing and name every body part, wouldn't it? You know, that would be a little long. But this is the idea, that we are to commit ourselves, our bodies, our lives, what we say to God and ask Him to use them to bless people, not to hurt people. I want to pray with you before you go back to your seats. Lord, I ask you that you would bless these children, that they would understand your will for their lives, that you have a great plan for them. You have a great desire that they would grow up to serve you, to believe in you, to trust you, and to walk with you every day. Thank you, Lord, that we can take our bodies that you've given us and use them to your glory, use them to bless other people. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom as we do so. And now I ask for your blessing on these children that are sitting right here, that you would be with them every day of their lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can go back to your seats. I heard a story of a man who was working in the produce department of the local grocery store, and a woman came up to him, and she asked him if she could buy a half a head of lettuce. He had already had kind of a tough day, and he's like, really? You know, he's thinking, and so he turned around to her, and he says, half a head? Are you really serious? God creates these things as a whole head, and you're coming in here asking for half a head. I don't think we can do that. She says, you mean after all the years I've shopped here, I've been coming here for 20 years, and you won't give me half a head of lettuce? And he says, okay. He says, if you'll wait, I'll go ask the manager. So she said she'd like him to do that. So he marched all the way back to the back of the store where the manager was and found him. And he says, you won't believe this, but there's a lame-brained idiot of a lady that asked me for half a head of lettuce. I can't believe that. And meanwhile, the manager's going, you know, he's given all these motions, and he turned around, and the woman was standing right there. She heard him say, there's a lame brain idiot of a lady back there who wants a half head of lettuce. And then he said, and this nice lady would like the other half. that's thinking on your feet pretty fast, you know. And so later on, the manager had also noticed that, and he kind of went to this worker, and he says, I've never seen anybody think so quickly on their feet. Where did you learn to do such a thing? And he says, well, sir, I grew up in Grand Rapids. And in Grand Rapids, if you know anything about Grand Rapids, you know that they have great hockey players and ugly women. And the man said, my wife was born and grew up in Grand Rapids. And the young man said, and which hockey team does she play for? Well, our tongues can get us into a lot of trouble, and we need to be careful, because so easily something can slip out of our mouth that we wish had never slipped out of our mouth. If my mother said it once, she said it 1,000 times, think before you speak, you know, get your brain in gear, and then say something after you thought about it. Every day, you and I are speaking thousands of words, so that's every word is an opportunity for things to go awry. Every time we open our mouth, something could come out that we would regret, or something could come out that we would be pleased with. As we begin chapter 3 of the book of James today, we notice that James devotes most of chapter 3 to the tongue and how it impacts our witness for Christ. Basically, he's saying, our tongue's going to get us into a lot of trouble if we're not careful. We need to be very careful about what we say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Now, we all need to ask God for wisdom on this. Just as we prayed with the children a few minutes ago, our text is in James chapter 3. If you want to turn there and you use a pew Bible here, it's page 978, chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 12 verses of James 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That always catches my attention as a teacher and every teacher here. We all stumble in many ways, James says. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. He could say that with confidence because nobody ever got this perfect yet, so not everybody is perfect. Nobody is perfect. Now we get into the heart of it. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships for an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Now, that's pretty strong language, but if you've been on the receiving end of somebody's outburst, you know what he's talking about. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is restless evil. It is full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Now, James has already introduced the topic of the tongue and what we say in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, or chapter 1, verses 19 and 26. In verse 19 of chapter 1, he says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We looked at that one. In chapter 1:26, he says, if anyone considers himself to be religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. So he's already brought up this topic, but obviously he comes back to it because this is a struggle. This is a problem. If we want to know how God wants us to live, this is one of the things we have to address. James and the Holy Spirit want us to know how destructive, how deadly the tongue can be. Now, we may excuse ourselves. We may, think, well, this isn't that big of a deal. Everybody does this. But the misuses, the abuses of the tongue can negate the impact, the fruitfulness of an otherwise godly life. I mean, you could have a lot of other things together and doing great things for people, and all of a sudden there's this slip of the tongue. Suddenly there's this thing you said, and the person is so offended, so hurt, that's the end of your witness into their life. As we seek God, and as we seek godly speech, then let's note what James says about the tongue. He knows three important facts. First of all, about the tongue, its impact in the world, that the tongue is small, and yet is very powerful. For such a little thing to have so much power over our lives is really amazing, isn't it? You know, to think that this little thing could do so much good and so much damage. And so he illustrates this in three ways. He says, think of horses. Horses are incredibly powerful, but they can be controlled by a very small bit in their mouths. Do any of you like to ride horses? Anybody here? Let's see, a horse rider. A few. Okay, a couple. I love to ride horses. Of course, I happen to be allergic to them, so every time I get on them, I'm sneezing my head off, but I love to ride a horse. Are any of you afraid of horses? Yeah, some people like, I don't want to get up on that thing. And somebody give the opportunity, you know, they say, that thing is huge. I don't want to be up there. I don't know what it's going to do. They're very powerful, very strong. For hundreds of years, perhaps thousands of years, armies have won their battles on the strength of their horses and the number of horses that they had. This was the ultimate for a long time. And yet, a relatively small bit in a horse's mouth brings it completely under control. The power, the impact of our lives, our witness for God in the world, is subject to this one little part of our bodies. That's how powerful the tongue is. Think of large ships. A large ship steered by a very small rudder, as James says, cruise ships. Some of those are massive. You ever look at an aircraft carrier? I had the opportunity to walk on an aircraft carrier and tour it. I thought, I cannot believe this thing floats. I can't believe how many people there are 5,000 people can be on this ship at the same time. That's a whole city. It's a floating city. And the direction, the success of that ship's mission depends on that one small rudder in the back. It all depends on that little rudder that's guiding the whole thing wherever the pilot wants to go. Or think of the fire spark. A small spark can start a huge fire. Now, we see this every year in California, sometimes down in Florida, recently up where in Canada. And we've seen how millions of dollars of damage, even the loss of life, can occur as forest fires rage out of control. Almost every one of them began with a little spark, a single spark. A few years ago, we had a fire over here in Sumner Lake. Do any of you remember that? Remember when that happened? And seven houses were either destroyed or severely damaged. They had to pretty much rebuild all of them because that fire was so intense, and the houses are close together. They're beautiful, beautiful homes, suddenly burned up. And why? Because a man was out in his backyard smoking a cigarette and carelessly threw the cigarette butt down into the mulch, the wood mulch next to the house. That's all it took. And it just took over. And they couldn't get in there fast enough. It's amazing what a fire spark can do to destroy things. James' point, obviously, is that the tongue is only a small part of the body, but it causes all kinds of trouble. Our tongues are very small, but they are oh so powerful. Second fact about tongues, the tongue is dangerous. It is often out of control. It's like the loose cannon, you know, in the ship. Again, James returns to the illustration of fires that go out of control. And even with all of our modern equipment, you think, you know, we should be able to put out a fire like in California or in Canada. We have planes that fly over, and we have all this equipment. We have all this technology that we can stop it before it can spread too far. And yet, one of those northern fires in Northern California burned over 14,000 acres. It took 1,350 firefighters to stop it. I mean, that's incredible resources are poured at this thing, this out-of-control fire. James also mentions the fact of animals that we have tamed, sea creatures, land animals of all sizes. No one yet has found a way to tame the tongue. A few years ago, Dave Dunn and Dan Higgins and I were in Thailand with the Barefoot Doctor School, and we got to spend one day going to see the elephants. And here are these massive creatures. They had like 40 of them there in this camp. And so they brought them out, and they had trained them to play soccer. You know, and we're like, they're kicking a soccer ball. There's a soccer ball about this big through a goal, you know, at the other end of the court. And it's like, okay. Then they take out these big white easels, and they put a brush with paint on it in the trunk of this elephant, and it paints a picture that you can recognize, a picture of a tree, picture of this scene. What? How are they doing that? You know, this massive animal that we never should think we'd be able to control, they have really under control. It's an amazing, amazing thing. The tongue is uncontrollably dangerous. It is prone to danger. It is prone to doing destructive things. In fact, James says it can set the course of one's whole life on fire. It comes from hell itself. That's how strong he says. This is how dangerous the tongue can be. And it's often out of control, often no filter, often people say whatever they want to say. James' third fact about the tongue is the tongue cannot be trusted to always do good. We know that. Our tongues are terribly inconsistent. They're unpredictable. Often we had a plan of what we were going to say. We were in a difficult situation. Maybe we have to say something to somebody. We don't really want to talk about it. We have conflict. We have something we have to correct or whatever. And we thought we knew how we were going to do it. And then we get there, we just make matters worse. You know, we say the wrong thing, and now they're really offended. And now there's no going back. There's no repair that can be done. The damage is, you know, you cannot reconcile. James says, with the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in his image. Out of the same mouth come curses and praise. This should not be, he says, and we say amen. You know, this should not be, but it is. How tragic it is when we use our tongue to praise God in the church service, and then 10 minutes later, we're arguing with our spouse in the car on the way home. We come into the church service and we're singing all these praises and we're feeling so good. We commune with the Lord, with each other, and you know, we're feeling solid and peaceful. And then as soon as we leave, we remember something that somebody in the church said. We criticize them, we condemn them, we gossip about them. Right after we've praised God, same mouth, same tongue, very different messages. And so he's absolutely right when he says this should not be, because you don't get fresh water and salt water from the same source. Fig trees don't produce olives. Apple trees don't produce oranges. You could go on and on. In other words, the tongues of godly men and women ought to speak godly things, right? But our tongues simply cannot be trusted to do good all the time. Blessings and curses come from the same mouth. So James comes to this point in this scripture where he's just expressing frustration and embarrassment and pleading, you know, the implication is pleading with God, please save me from this. You do something about this. If we are going to be God's witnesses here on earth, then something needs to change. Amen? Something needs to change. Otherwise, we're going to keep on making these same mistakes. So James has described, he's defined the problem. What is the solution? We actually have to look at a lot of other scriptures to find some of these solutions. What is God's plan for taming the tongue? And the Bible gives several commands. We don't have time to go through all of them, but let me just share a couple of them briefly. Commands to obey about the use of our mouths. First, avoid unwholesome talk. Unwholesome talk, what does that mean? Apostle Paul taught this in Ephesians 4:29. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Unwholesome talk literally means rotten talk, worthless talk, things that have no business even being said at all. It's worthless. There's no value to these words that come out of our mouth. That's unwholesome talk. That should never be in our mouth. Profanity would fit in there. Vulgarity, which we hear so much of in this world today, without shame, without apology, don't we? We hear it all the time, and it starts becoming part of our pattern because we've heard it. It goes in, and it starts coming out of our mouths. This is a problem, but Word of God says Christians should never have unwholesome talk. Secondly, he says in the scripture, avoid complaining or arguing. In Philippians 2:14-15, God's word says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. You know, Christians start, you know, following some of this, that you're going to shine out. You're going to stand out in such a society, such a crooked and depraved generation. But that means you don't have a right to complain all the time. Maybe you like to complain. Maybe it feels good to complain. Maybe you feel like you're just being honest to complain. But it says do this without complaining or arguing. We love to argue. We love to prove our point. We love to show that we were right, that we knew all along what should have happened. But there's no value to that, ultimately. So do everything without complaining or arguing, the Word of God says. Thirdly, the Bible says, avoid gossip and slander. Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 2:1, therefore rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Talking behind someone's back, giving others a negative impression of someone else, is just mean. It's just ungodly. What are we doing? You know, when we resort to that, do we feel like we're building up our reputation if we put someone else down? And unfortunately, we see this danger and this damage happening even in the church sometimes. You know, it's just one of the tools the devil uses adeptly with to destroy the unity, destroy the harmony of the church. Get people talking about each other behind their back and having malice toward one another and carrying that grudge around for years. I still remember the church I visited in East Tennessee, and there were two main families in this little country church, and they sat on opposite sides of the auditorium, you know, and they never mixed with each other. And I asked the preacher, what is going on? He says, well, You know, the grandpa offended the other grandpa years ago, and they have nothing to do with each other. They go to church together every Sunday. They're part of the same congregation. They hear the same messages from God's word every week, and still they hold on to this grudge. What is going on there? The Bible says avoid lying and deceit. In Ephesians 4:25, Paul said, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So put off that falsehood. Jesus said, you know, your yes should be good enough. You say you're going to do it. Be truthful to your neighbor. Paul talks about speaking the truth in love to one another. So lying and deceit have no place in the lives of those who are following Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, right? Why would we have any of that part of our life, part of how we handle things? You know, I want to make this happen. I'm willing to deceive somebody. I'm willing to lie about that. It should not be a part of our lives. Now, I could go on and on with scriptures, and you've probably seen many of those that would encourage us to use our tongues properly to encourage and build one another up in love. But there is something behind and beneath our tongues that we simply must address today before we leave this topic, because this is where it all takes place. This is where it begins. Behind all the notes about the power, the destructiveness of the tongue, behind all of the Bible's commands and admonitions and warnings about, you know, the tongue and how it's to be used properly, there is a final great factor in the use of our tongues for good or evil, and that's our hearts. This is where it begins. Not here, but down here. Not in what comes out, but what was going in and what we're allowing to stir around inside of our hearts. And why is our heart so important? Because Jesus hit the nail on the head. He said this, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, it is the heart that is behind whatever is said. You want to know how to correct what's being said, start with the heart, in other words. Our tongues are out of control because our hearts are out of control. And that is why seeking God first is so important as our priority in life. We seek God first, it's going to change our heart. And when our heart is changed, then our life is changed. Behind everything we say with our tongues, good or bad, stands our heart. Our heart is the source of everything we are thinking, everything that we are feeling, every attitude which find expression through what we say and do. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So before we say a single word, something goes on in our hearts that determines what comes out of our mouths. It may be anger. It may be envy. It may be good will. And because the heart has this capacity, this feeling, this desire, the mouth speaks according to what the heart gives it to say. If we want a grip on what our tongues are saying, we need to begin with the heart. I like how Randy Alcorn summarized what Jesus was saying here about the link between our hearts and our mouths. He said this, several points. He says, the source of our words is our hearts. Okay, that's where we start. The source. The problem then is our hearts, not our tongues. That's where you start. That's where you make the difference. The solution is a heart transplant. You need a new heart. God said in Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. That was the promise of God that came true in Jesus Christ. And finally, once our hearts are changed, then our words are changed. You know? So you don't start by saying, you know, I'm going to just bite my tongue more. You know, I'm going to put duct tape over my mouth. Because the heart would still be thinking all these terrible things. And you're just frustrated that it can't get out. So you start writing it down or something. I don't know what you would do if you couldn't speak it. But you're going to probably explode. So the place to start is the source. Get your heart right with God, and changes in your speech, changes in your conduct will follow. If we don't want awful stuff coming out of our mouths, then we need to seek God and ask Him to get the awful stuff out of our hearts. Give us a new heart, O God. Put a new spirit within us as You promised You would do. And once again, we discover that if we will put God first, then all these other things are going to be given as well. There was a man, kind of like my father-in-law, but he had it worse. My father-in-law one time had to have his vocal cords operated on, couldn't talk for 3 months, couldn't say a word, he couldn't whisper. This man had a similar situation, but it was 6 months. 6 months, he couldn't say a word to anybody. Could you imagine? So he kept a notepad around like Ken did, you know, and he wrote notes and he'd fire them off. You know, Ken had a lot to say, by the way. He would write these notes, and so 3 months, a family would be gathering. He was still preaching then, full time, and he couldn't preach on Sunday. He couldn't answer the phone. He couldn't deal with anybody that came to the office. Everything was by these notes. Well, this man started going through this experience, all of his conversation, all of his communication to be on paper, and afterwards he said, "You know what happened? Yeah, I stopped writing so many notes. Because I realized as I have to take the time to write it, there's a lot of stuff I was saying I didn't need to say. Stuff that wasn't good to say. And I started having this new filter on my communication, my conversation with people, because I had to just stop long enough to consider what I was going to say. And I found out a lot of it was unimportant and a lot of it was hurtful. And I just stopped writing a lot of those notes I was writing at the first." In Proverbs 10:19, Solomon said, "He who holds his tongue is wise." And we've already heard James say, you know, be slow to speak, quick, eager to listen. So all of us need to be much more careful about what we say, so that what we say reflects who we are in Christ. So let's work on who we are in Christ. Let's work on this, the Spirit of God doing whatever He wants to do inside our heart, making the changes that He wants to make, giving us that new heart in Christ day by day as we're seeking Him. And then our tongues will take care of themselves. Father, I thank You that we were able to come to Your Word today. I pray that each of us would have some things to wrestle through as a result of today, that we would think about the source of all those things that we have said that we regret. The source was our heart, Lord, and I pray that You would help us to seek You first, to seek the new heart that we can have in Jesus Christ, and for You to just work Your will, Your supernatural will in our lives. The world doesn't know what to do with these things. The world just keeps making so many mistakes, so many terrible things are said, and so many vulgar things are said. So many things are unwholesome and hurtful and just stir things up more and more. And we see it all the time, Lord. But that's not who we are in Christ. That's not who we have been created to be in Christ. So give us a new heart, Lord, and help that heart to speak in goodwill and love and generosity and encouragement to build others up in Your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.